Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. This is our March 2019 episode, and our guests for this podcast, Maria Canchon and Daniel Meyer, say that in some ways the U.S. child support system works least well for the families that need it the most. According to 2015 census data, just 43% of custodial parents, that is, parents whose children live with them but apart from the other parent, reported that they received all child support that was owed to them from the non-custodial parent or the parent living apart from the custodial parent and children. The remainder, well over half, said they received no child support payments at all or just part of what was owed to them during the year. Canchon and Meyer are the primary investigators of a team that evaluated a large 8-state experiment that aimed to see if a different approach to child support services could lead to better outcomes. The experiment is called the Child Support Non-Custodial Parent Employment Demonstration, or CSPED, and the results of their evaluation, including an impact evaluation and a benefit-cost analysis, are being released today, building on reports describing the implementation of the demonstration and the characteristics of the participants that were released in January of this year. Canchon is the dean of the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University and an affiliate and former director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Meyer is professor of social work here at the University of Wisconsin and an IRP affiliate. Over the course of the interview, we talked about how this project came to be, what it looked like for child support offices to change their approach to child support services for this demonstration, and what they learned. We hear from Professor Canchon first, followed by Professor Meyer, and when we first started talking, I asked them to tell us more about what CSPED is and what they helped to learn in the evaluation.
So CSPED is a large-scale random assignment evaluation that aims to answer the questions, can child support agencies take the lead in an innovative program that combines child support services, employment services, parenting services, and case management? And will that help non-custodial parents who are having trouble meeting their child support obligations to be better able to meet those obligations and have a number of other good impacts on the program and on the families served?
So it really came about from a recognition that current policy doesn't work very well, that some parents get behind in their child support payments, either because they're having some employment difficulties or maybe they owe an amount of child support that's really hard for them to pay. And so then they get further and further behind in their payments. And the child support system, the main response to that is to threaten and then punish under an assumption that if the system is harsh enough, the people will begin to pay. And that system, for many observers, doesn't work very well. So this is an opportunity to try a different approach and see if that different approach can work.
And one of the key things about CSPED is that it targets non-custodial parents who are behind in their child support or having employment difficulties, because the current system works quite well for folks who are regularly employed and have an order, which is paid typically through income withholding. And so there's a whole set of folks for whom the current child support system works well. But then there's a whole set for whom it doesn't work very well. And one of the real challenges is that those non-custodial parents are often the parents of children who particularly need child support. So they often are non-custodial parents where the custodial parent doesn't have high earnings either. And so it's a problem that the child support system works least well in some ways for the families that need it the most. And those are the families and the non-custodial parents that were really the focus of this intervention.
The actual implementation of CSPED began in the fall of 2012, but I asked them to tell us more about what led up to this project taking off.
The project stems from this recognition that the child support system doesn't work very well and that we should try this alternate approach with these different kinds of services. And so the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement wanted some states to try this alternate approach. And so they put out a call for states to respond, and 8 states were selected to try this innovative approach. And then the federal government also wanted this to be rigorously evaluated. So the idea is that one state should be the evaluator of all these other state programs. And so there was a call for that as well, and Wisconsin bid for that, and Wisconsin was selected as the evaluator, and then the state of Wisconsin, Department of Children and Families, asked us, IRP, if we would be the main evaluators. We partnered with Mathematica Policy Research and with the UW Survey Center to carry out the evaluation.
Canchon and Meyer have been collaborating on child support research at the Institute for Research on Poverty since the 1990s. And in their time working together, they've completed a number of large-scale child support policy evaluations. So I asked them what it is about this issue of child support that continues to sustain their interest, not just for a multi-year project like CSPED, but for a large portion of their academic careers.
So I'm the new addition to this team. So I've only been working with Dan on this for 25 years or so. And I think we were maybe both assistant professors when we started this. I was at least still, we were both younger than we are now and less experienced. And I think in a lot of ways that solidified a particular approach to kind of large scale analysis of a policy intervention. But it built on, you know, really decades of work that had been done here at IRP by people like Irv Garfinkel and Margo Melli, and infrastructure and other investments that had been made by IRP and people like Pat Brown. And so the other piece, I think, of that history is that we were used to working with just a tremendous number of really strong colleagues who brought different perspectives and strengths to the team. And one of the real challenges of this, of the CSPED project, has been managing this very large scale collaborative project with lots of different interested parties. And I think that drew on that past experience.
I think the history, for me, this is a topic that I've been interested in for a long time. And partly it's a topic that has sustained my interest because I'm interested in families and their economic well-being. And so in the U.S., a lot of economically vulnerable families are single-parent families. So trying to think about ways that policies can improve or affect their economic well-being, and child support is one of the places to look for that. It's also interesting because it brings some fundamental questions to the fore. So, like, what do we expect of families, and what do we expect of the government? What do we expect of a parent who's not living with their children? What do we expect of a parent who is living with their children? What do we expect about how that decision about where those children live should be made? And in all this, for me, there's a underlying theme of how can we ensure the well-being of children in potentially difficult situations. So that's sort of the big picture framing that got me, and I think maybe both of us, interested in the topic.
And I think, you know, one of the really nice things about, and different things about CSPED, is that we're looking at it from the perspective of non-custodial parents, which is typically fathers. And a lot of the work that we have done has started from moms. So being, I think, more and more, we're asking questions like the ones that Dan highlighted about what do we expect of parents, and how are those expectations different for custodial and non-custodial parents? How, to what extent are those gendered expectations? And how might those gendered expectations be changing or evolving? So one of the things we look at in CSPED is, you know, fathers' attitudes about, or non-custodial parents' attitudes about their responsibility for their children and the way that they parent and the way that they interact with other parents. And one of the questions we ask is, how much time do they spend with their children, and is that as much time as they would like to spend? And I think those questions even reflect changes in our attitudes about the system, that it's not just about getting money from dad and care from mom. Over the last couple of decades, we've started to really expect that moms are going to be working, not just taking care of their kids. And we're kind of starting to think about the fact that fathers may have obligations and maybe also rights and desires to be active parents in ways beyond just providing financial support, or at least we're thinking more about how financial support and emotional and caretaking support are related. And so CSPED really gave an opportunity to look at those. And more generally, the child support program is kind of the primary program targeting vulnerable families that is typically focused on fathers. It focuses on non-custodial parents, but those are most typically fathers. And that's unusual. So it provides a different framework, and it provides maybe an opportunity to reach out to a population that in a lot of ways has been underserved.
Myron Canchon say that non-custodial parents, and this is especially true of parents in the CSPED intervention, often have quite negative impressions and experiences with the child support services that they've received.
So we know from ethnographic work that fathers feel like the system does not look out for them, non-custodial parents, like it's really on the side of their ex-partners, and like the system is focused on only enforcing monetary transfers, not helping them have better relationships, so treating them just as a great big wallet without recognizing the interpersonal connections. So in many ways, this is a project that starts with a group of people who are quite skeptical of the services that are trying to be provided. So we weren't certain, and the designers of the intervention were not certain that they'd be able to overcome that skepticism and negative past experiences and develop a more positive and collaborative and working together relationship between a child support worker and a non-custodial parent.
And that required change on both sides. So, you know, we're here to talk about the impact findings, but the impact findings really build on the implementation analysis that was done. And one of the key reasons why we were so interested in that was that this really did require a culture change in a lot of ways. And I don't want to suggest that this was something that wasn't occurring and then CSPED happened and all of a sudden it flipped. But there's been a real evolution over the last, say, 10 years in the thinking of child support enforcement. I think away from a pure enforcement and more accounting kind of system to thinking more broadly about not just enforcing, but also, to use Ron Mincy's term, enabling non-custodial parents to meet their obligations. That's been uneven over time and very uneven across jurisdictions. But part of what CSPED was an ability for grantees in 8 different states to kind of embrace the promise of that new approach and then really try to implement it and see, you know, the ways in which it did and didn't work.
As they mentioned earlier, the evaluation took place in 8 states, and the states varied in terms of how many counties provided the services. In Ohio, Iowa, and California, just 1 county provided services, while Texas and Wisconsin provided services in 2 counties, South Carolina and Tennessee in 3, and Colorado in 5 counties. And each of these sites were to offer certain services and components as part of the demonstration.
So the Office of Child Support Enforcement had some parameters, some suggestions, some things that were required and some things that were just suggested as to what this program should look like. And among the things that it had to do were it had to be a child support-led intervention, and then there needed to be several components. So one component was there needed to be a case manager, and typically that was done within the child support office, and they often set up a separate CSPED unit that contained people who were providing a great deal of one-on-one assessment and services and helping people navigate a variety of services they needed.
One of the key questions is, if they did that, would they come? If you rolled out a program where you provided this, would non-custodial parents think that this was a logical place to get support, to talk about the challenges, to find a path to employment services, to engage with parenting services? Or was the kind of packaging or the door that they needed to walk through actually a problem? And I think one of the things that we have found in this evaluation is that child support agencies were remarkable remarkably effective in doing that, even though they did have to confront challenges and they did have to rely, or they were successful often when they relied on community partners that had different profiles. But we also found that non-custodial parents' attitudes about the child support system really were remarkably transformed over a relatively short period of time in the face of a relatively modest intervention. We saw very big impacts on fathers' attitudes about the system, which, you know, we hope over time will be a kind of stepping stone towards more productive engagement with that system.
Employment services and parenting services were two of the main service components, along with child support services and case management services. All of the CSED programs also implemented screening and safety procedures for domestic violence. And the CSPED program was targeted to non-custodial parents who were struggling to pay their child support and had difficulty finding and keeping good-paying jobs.
And so those employment services, again, depended a little bit on what was provided within that location, but it included everything from some assessment of what people's skills are to some assistance with the job search process, to there was in every site a worker who tried to identify jobs that would be appropriate and bring that information back to non-custodial parents. So this wasn't just an idea that you give people a little help with their resume and then send them out. It was also intended to be a more robust approach than that. And then another service was the parenting service. So the parenting services looked a little bit different in each of these eight states, but in general they covered a variety of topics like how to engage with your kids when you're living apart, how you and your ex-partner can work together to provide the right kind of environment for your kids. Some things that are basic child development. What do you expect from a two-year-old? Can a seven-year-old make their own choices about different areas of their life? Or is that something you need to provide more structure for? So some basic sorts of what's it mean to be a parent. And then there were these components that were peer support. So, and again, mostly men. So it's mostly a father talking to another father about how hard it is to be a dad when my kids are elsewhere, and maybe how hard it is to be a dad when I've had kids with more than one person, and how do I try to engage with all those kids differently, and maybe when I have different relationships with each of those moms. And then in every place, there was also some services dealing with domestic violence and ensuring safety.
And a key thing here is that through the CSPED model used in the demonstration, the child support system itself worked differently.
Often the current approach is you're behind in your payments, we send you a letter. The letter warns you to start paying or else. And then what follows with the or else can be everything from or else we'll suspend your driver's license, or else we'll take away your fishing license. So a variety of penalties can occur. It might be you need to come to a court hearing to make a plan for how you're going to pay off this back amount of support that you owe. And if you don't show up in court, then we have the authority to arrest you. So there's a variety of things that typically happen to people who are behind. And the CSPED services tried to rethink what should happen when somebody's behind. And maybe instead of starting with punishment, we should start with an intervention that asks people what's going on, tries to provide services appropriate to the problem. So that's a different kind of child support service approach.
And part of that was thinking about right-sizing orders, right? So part of what child support does is establish expectations about how much every non-custodial parent is going to be providing to their children on a regular basis. And one of the central goal of the intervention was to increase reliable child support. And the understanding that I think many people have is that sometimes non-custodial parents are less likely to regularly pay support because they become overwhelmed by perhaps the debt or the level of child support order that they have. That's one of the concerns, one of the hypotheses out there. So one of the things that happened in all of these agencies, some places more than others, is that child support orders for folks that were assigned to the treatment group, or the extra services group in the parlance of CSPED, was that their child support orders were evaluated, and in some cases they were reduced. In some cases they were increased, but more often they were reduced, or what we would consider to be right-sized. So I think that's useful to recognize, because when we're evaluating the outcomes for CSPED, what the designers were hoping would happen is that folks would get appropriately sized orders and parenting services and employment services, and that would cause them to pay more regularly to comply with their child support order. It wasn't clear whether orders should go up or down, though I think given the target population, which was non-custodial parents who were having trouble with employment and child support, we probably would have hypothesized that orders would go down.
So in the CSPED impact evaluation that's being released, one of the questions the evaluation team addressed was what would happen if child support orders went down? If the orders went down, would the actual payments go down just as much?
If that were the case, then that's probably not a win. In the most optimistic, you might think that orders would go down and payments would actually go in the other direction. People would be so enthusiastic about these lower orders that they would pay even more than they used to. Or it might be somewhere in between. And that's what we actually found, was somewhere in between. We found that child support orders fell modestly by about $15 on average per month. But we found that payments fell considerably less than orders did. They fell by $4 or $5 a month on average when you compare people in the extra services to the regular services group. So we didn't find that a decline in orders suddenly increased the amount of money that custodial parents were getting, but we did find that an intervention that substantially ratcheted down these kind of punitive enforcement actions, so much less of a stick, and reduced orders, didn't have as much of an impact in reducing payments. It's in some sense a glass half empty, half full. So it's leave it to listeners to decide whether that, how much of a success that was. And as I mentioned before, that also was associated with a big improvement in non-custodial parents' understanding and their evaluation of child support services, which we would be hopeful. First of all, it's good when citizens feel like they're being well served, but also we would hope that that would lead to kind of more productive engagement with the system going forward.
So we just talked about the impacts on child support orders going down, child support payments going down a little, not as much, and satisfaction with child support services, which went up substantially. I want to talk just a little bit about the other things that CSPED was hoping where there would be an impact, and one of them was employment and earnings. And we did not see employment effects. We saw some small earnings effects. So people who follow a wide variety of efforts to try to increase employment and earnings for any individual with low skills know that that's a very hard job. And most of those evaluations result in very small or no impacts. And similarly, this evaluation resulted in no impacts on employments and low impacts on earnings. What's more encouraging is the impacts on parenting. So we did measure several different parenting impacts that we decided before we looked at the data that the most important thing that we were trying to assess was a sense of responsibility for children. And there we see a significant impact. We also saw some other impacts, an increase in contact, a decline in harsh parenting. So that was an area, the parenting area, where we do see some impacts from CSPED.
As we think about the impacts of CSPED, we've been hearing about regular services and extra services groups in this evaluation, and in terms of how non-custodial parents were assigned to one group or another, they say it's useful to talk about both the challenge and the value of random assignment.
The way this worked differed a little bit across grantees, but in general, because this was conducted in compliance with human subjects rules and all of that, people were invited to participate. They were recruited in a number of ways. They were invited to participate, and they were told that they had a 50-50 chance of either receiving regular business as usual services or enhanced or extra services that would include parenting and child support services and employment services. And then they filled out a short baseline survey that they did by telephone with the UW Survey Center. That allowed us to kind of understand the situation of these non-custodial parents and to understand things like about 2/3 of them had had children with more than one other parent, that 60 or 70% of them had some criminal justice involvement. Some of that came from the baseline, some from administrative data. So we collected that information, and then they were randomly assigned to either be in the extra services or the regular services. Those that were in the regular services typically were given some printed information about things that were available in the community, but they weren't provided with extra services. Those in extra services, depending on the location, either immediately got some case management and some referrals, or it might have been the process varied from place to place.
And can John and Meyer say that when we think about this evaluation, it's really important to realize that all of the agencies that put in a proposal to provide CSPED were interested in providing this more robust set of child support services.
They were interested in considering what impact might have of both enforcing and enabling non-custodial parents to pay their support. So we're pulling from, not a random sample of child support agencies. But then by engaging in this, to some extent, we would expect the culture, if you will, of the office to change. And in some places, there was a separate unit that was doing this. In other places, it was a little more diffuse. So one of the challenges of a random assignment design is that there are some changes that might be in the air that might affect both regular services and extra services folks. Now, we did see a large and differential level of satisfaction between extra and regular services folks. So obviously, those in the regular services presumably didn't get exactly the same treatment as extra services. But there is that difference. And then the other difference is that there are services available. The other challenge is that there are services available in the community. So there are folks who got some parenting services or employment services or other things who were in the regular services group. So we're not testing what we hoped would be given to nothing, because the folks in the regular services group got some services. And the folks in the extra services group, some of them got the 16 hours of parenting services they were supposed to get, but many of them did not. Most of them did not get the full. Employment services were more than a resume workshop in many places, but they typically did not include trial jobs or subsidized jobs or some of the more kind of expansive employment services. And they didn't include things that, in many places there may not have been access to criminal justice expungement services. We have some evidence from the implementation analysis that things like mental health services that might have been very useful or substance treatment wasn't available. So there were a set of services that were available to those in the extra services group, and I think some people would call it a major expansion. I think other folks say, it's a pretty modest intervention. And I think that's partly reflected in the results of the benefit-cost analysis.
So I want to highlight the advantages of the random assignment experiment, even though many listeners will understand this, but the reason this is so popular and seen as such a important evaluation tool is because if we only look at people who received services, we don't really know that outcomes that we observe are due to or are caused by that intervention. So to understand what the impact of an intervention is, you need to compare, in an ideal world, someone who received that service with that same someone or someone exactly like them who didn't receive that service. So what random assignment gives you is, through the process of random assignment and with enough people, that there is essentially exactly that same person who didn't get the service and that person who did get the service, or at least was offered the service. So following Maria's point, what you have is a great comparison between a group of people who were offered extra services and a group of people who were offered business as usual or regular services.
And we had 10,000, a little bit more than 10,000 participants. So we got what Dan noted, which is, you know, enough individuals that we could be confident that it was, there weren't important differences underlying. And of course, we did statistical tests to confirm that random assignment had worked and that there weren't significant differences in the baseline characteristics of the folks who were participating and not. And that was really key. And it was key, I think, there are two threats often to kind of evaluations that don't have random assignment. And both of them, I think, were really salient here. So people in most of these sites had to volunteer in some sense to participate. And folks who volunteer are often motivated to change, and they're often in a bad spot, which is part of their motivation. And so they often do better later. or they might not do as well because they were kind of desperate and that's why they volunteered. The other thing that happens is the world around them changes. And in all of the sites where we did, where we implemented CSPED, there were pretty substantial declines in unemployment over the period of the evaluation. And so we might have expected there to be changes in earnings and employment and maybe child support just because the economy were changing. And actually we see that when we look at the sample as a whole. But because we had this random assignment, we were able to not ask, did the earnings for CSPED participants go up? But rather we were able to ask, did the earnings of CSPED participants go up by more than the earnings of that essentially identical person who was assigned to the regular services group?
The evaluation team, which also included Robert Wood and Quinn Moore from Mathematica Policy Research, and Lonnie Berger and Catherine Magnuson from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, wrote the impact report based on just this type of comparison. And that report follows earlier reports, which are available to everyone on the IRP website, one of which describes a wide range of characteristics of the people who participated in CSPED.
And this is really important because this is a group of folks who we don't know very much about. Who in the past have been quite reluctant to respond to surveys, or reluctant, if they are responding to surveys, to acknowledge that they're a non-custodial parent. And so it's an area where not much is known systematically. This is one of the features, really, of CSPED, is being able to contribute to what the lives of non-custodial parents who are having difficulty with their transport are like. Couple things just to highlight. So in the last month, only about half of them had worked for pay, and that group earned about $500. So that's way below the poverty line, and is not enough to cover rent in many of the cities where we were studying. So very low economic circumstances, and substantial barriers to try to improve their work. So 60-70% with criminal records, a large number with transportation difficulties, some who acknowledge difficulties with the right kinds of skills for jobs.
And in addition to this wide range of barriers for these non-custodial parents, many of them also had a wide range of other responsibilities.
I think the designers of the child support system in the very early days had in mind two parents who lived together, and they might have had one or two kids together. And what we see here is many of these non-custodial parents have a child that they live with, so I think 30%, and then children who they don't live with. As Maria said, two-thirds, roughly, kids with more than one partner. So they're trying to spread these very limited resources, these very limited prospects for the future, across a wide range of kids. And it's a very difficult situation.
And can Chan and Meyer say that if we're going to offer a more holistic approach in the child support program, one that has the potential to help non-custodial parents address the challenges in their lives, it will likely require that child support workers themselves have the flexibility and discretion to react to non-custodial parents' individual situations?
So one of the things we've seen in other work that we've done and in related work is, you know, workers who feel like when something's going wrong, they can make a phone call or they can take time to reach out to a non-custodial parent and say, why aren't you paying? Oh, you have a health problem, or oh, you lost your job, or this. They can maybe hold back on some enforcement actions and kind of give that non-custodial parent a chance to catch up, which might be might sound to somebody like, well, that's kind of common sense. Well, that can't be your approach if your caseloads are so large and if the enforcement is kind of so automated that that's not possible, right?
And more broadly, they say that one of the hopes is that services like those in CSPED might be part of a growing set of efforts to make child support offices more approachable to non-custodial parents.
So I think one of the kind of hopes that CSPED will contribute to is that partly because of the new federal regulations around child support and partly because of a whole bunch of kind of related but kind of not directly related to CSPED but related to this movement, a bunch of efforts by OCSE and by individual states and jurisdictions to do things like develop apps that will remind non-custodial parents that their child support payment is due or give people better access to the system to make it easier for folks to have that kind of positive relationship, to think some of the work that's being done to look at kind of behavioral responses and how do you write a letter to somebody who is first being introduced to the child support system or who is behind to signal to that person that engaging with the system might actually help them get ahead so that non-custodial parents don't just throw the envelope from child support in the garbage as soon as they see the return address because they know it's just going to be more bad news. So those, one of the hopes is that the implementation analysis, the baseline characteristics report, as well as the impact analysis will all kind of move us forward in better understanding this population of non-custodial parents who are struggling so that we can design programs that are more effective and help them move ahead, but also help them provide more effectively for their families.
So clearly, CSPED's a large and complicated project, and Canchon and Meyer say there are a couple of main areas they want to highlight that helped make this project possible.
So this is a complicated project that has a lot of moving parts, and I think there's kind of at least two things that would be useful to highlight. So one is none of these data could have been collected, this couldn't have been done had it not been for the participants, obviously, who were willing to provide their time and to be part of this project, not knowing whether they were going to be randomly assigned to get more services or not. But then the agencies that were willing to take on all this new work and to be scrutinized, to have researchers in there asking them annoying questions because we didn't understand what they did, to take surveys, to participate in interviews, to do all of that. The leadership of these agencies who are, you know, really working hard on their regular programs, taking on the added burden of kind of innovating, and again, innovating under a microscope with people asking you what you're doing and why you're doing it. I also think this project is a nice example of what you can do when you have a university state kind of partnership. So we worked very closely with our colleagues at the Department of Children and Families in Wisconsin in designing the evaluation, getting their input on what was policy relevant and appropriate. But then we had the benefit of being at the Institute for Research on Poverty with kind of a lot of technical expertise, and then partnering with Mathematica and the UW Survey Center to bring kind of some cutting edge technology and some approaches to the analysis that really enriched what we were able to do and how we'll be able to use these data going forward. So this builds on a long tradition at IRP and elsewhere, but especially, you know, at kind of a state land grant institution, of doing work that moves scholarship forward, but that is fundamentally designed to inform better policy.
Thanks so much to Maria Canchon and Dan Meyer for talking about CSPED with us. If you're interested in learning more about CSPED and the evaluation report and benefit cost analysis report were just released and are available on the IRP website, along with the baseline characteristics report and implementation report. This podcast was supported as part of a grant from the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation at the Department of Health and Human Services, but its contents don't necessarily reflect any views or positions of ASPE, any other agency of the federal government, or the Institute for Research on Poverty. To catch new episodes of the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play Podcasts. You can also find all of our past episodes on the Institute for Research on Poverty website. Thanks for listening.